Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand.
No! You all didn't know the old me, that for 40 years, Darren, I was a kamikaze. The fact that I'm alive is a miracle.
How about that?
I've ridden steers, jumped off cliffs, been shot and been shot at, and I survived it all.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
It is. Howdy do, everybody. Welcome. 48 years celebrating today.
Happy
yours truly
birthday
right here.
To
thank you. Hey, yes. Fun birthdays. Here's the one thing. The more you have, the better off you are. There's your tip for the day. 48 of them today. So thank you so much. And for all the people that are writing in with the wonderful words today, I'm so darn excited about hour two of the program today. It is hour one on Game Plus TV, and we welcome all of our viewers across Canada and the United States. Most of you will know the name Alan Ford, several years general manager of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, several years assistant GM of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, Grey Cup winning player, scout for the Alouettes, spent some time with the Hamilton Tiger Cats. And I just want to tell you a funny story with Al. In the 90s, before I was voice of the Rough Riders, my job was taping interviews with Al every week for the pregame show on Rider Radio. Remember that, Al? And it was a long time ago, but it was the 90s in the CFL, and Al would go like this. Can we talk football this week instead of this folding team and this calamity? Remember that? Those were the 90s. Like, it felt like that was way worse than now. But here we are with a canceled season, and we're wondering where this is going. And I wanted to bring Al in to not only tell a few stories, but as a guy that scouted for so long and evaluated players, where are we with Canadians opting out of the CFL draft, but Americans are eligible, or Canadians playing in NCAA? All those things, salaries, I can't wait for Alan. But a few things have happened because it is my birthday. Ricky the Iguana, I understand, is watching and has sent in a video today from our esteemed mascot, Ricky the Iguana. Can we hear from him? Clark, what do we got here from Ricky the Iguana? He's not saying anything. He's just dancing. Thank you, Ricky. Is there a sign? What does it say?
Happy birthday, Rod.
Ah,
big exclamation mark.
We got to put that on our Instagram story. Thank you, Ricky the Iguana. From what I understand, by the way, the South Carolina Stingrays mascot, our ECHL team that we have adopted, has accepted the challenge.
No way.
For a fight at center ice with Ricky the Iguana.
Unreal.
And I said yesterday that the ECHL is the only league that's playing. It's not. College hockey's playing, college football's playing, soccer's playing, which reminds me, let's not go any further. Let's get into the Quick Six show topics, please, Jordan, because that's all incorporated there. Thank you. Number one, the Western Hockey League suspended its season last night. And as our viewer, one of our viewers in Edmonton, John, wrote in and said a lot of people are upset about it. Well, of course they are. That's not news. And it sounds like most of you people were expecting the announcement yesterday. I wasn't, because I was sucked into the positive nature of comments of leaders that they were going to begin playing January the 8th. Devastation is a word that I wrote down. That is the feeling amongst junior hockey people, because let's not forget, junior A hockey is not playing either across this land. And in Western Canada alone, over 1,000 players are affected there. Let's not forget the coaches, the trainers, the support staff, the billets, the bus drivers. Like I put out that tweet last night. Can we hear from the sports people? We got to make some noise here. Crickets. It's not that they don't agree. They're just too afraid of being canceled.
Mm-hmm.
So my point is, those that do have a voice, Hustler came on here yesterday from TSN 1290 Winnipeg. I said, we need to rise up and defend the sports crowd, because they are just getting trampled left and right. But they're not saying anything, and I commend them for that. But I've got the ability. They don't. And am I completely off track here and saying this is colossally devastating? And for the people that say sports don't matter, who's arguing with that?
I know, and there's not enough on the other side, you know, arguing it, but they do matter. We know, you know, human lives matter. We know that matters the most, but we need to have an effort to be able to maintain what we have. We have to be able to have an effort to save people's jobs and their livelihoods and their mental health while staying safe. You know, while a good section of the public is very, you know, great, just able to isolate and you know, calm down for a little bit and just relax. And that's a great place to be. But there's a whole section that's a difficult thing to do. Very difficult.
By the way, a special shout out from Rick Reagan. Happy birthday, boss. Wish I could be there with you guys for the dinner. That's the big voice guy from our show. There it is, Rick Reagan, watching in Wichita, Kansas. How about that? He's the guy that says that. Thank you, Rick. You're the best. Merry Christmas, my man, in Wichita, Kansas. He's a day one guy. Point two. So the coverage came out on TSN Sports Center with our guys, Darren Dreger, Pierre LeBrun, the baby-faced assassin, Frank Saravelli. It's not positive. And I had a sneaking suspicion the NHL went underground because they rightly sniffed out that people don't want to hear millionaires and billionaires fight over money. They don't, especially not now. But there's more than that. They've run into considerable snags coming back to play the National Hockey League. And Gino Retta, the host, put it to Dreger. He said, what's holding up this return to play announcement? You know what Dreger replied? A lot of things. I wrote that down. It's not just about money. It's about safety. It's about health. And I guess that's a rant that I went on last hour. I could sit and listen to the leaders that say, everything's good. We're going to come back. I.e. pee on your head and tell you that it's raining. Don't worry. Everything's fine. Or go to the people that are ringing my phone and saying, Rod, it's not happening. And here's why. Players don't want to go back into the bubble. If it's a bubble, they're not interested. NHL players. Or in the CFL's case, don't let the owners fool you. The players will play for pretty much anything. You know what I mean? Because there's two totally different stories that's being purported out there.
There's a lot. You think about the actual work that has to be done. And, I mean, it's such a long shot for the NHL to get going on the 13th of January. And it's about money, right? For sure. But then it's about, you want us to play in a bubble? Oh, we want to do longer road trips in one city and then, you know, 2 weeks on, 1 week off. And then it's, what are we allowed to do in that week off? And how many tests do we have to get? And can we see our families and do these things? And are you paying me more for this? Are we not? How are we sharing the revenue? And then what happens for the playoffs? Like, it's, which days do we get off? Do we get a break again? Like, we normally would get a, you know, short one at Christmas.
Right.
It's a lot of questions.
Can you put up the comment from Trenton, Norway, guys? Trent's watching. Norway calling. The corona situation is the same in Norway with soccer, basketball, and handball. Mass restrictions over here, too. Skiing and ski jumping are being done without fans. The music world is suffering lots here, too. But let's keep up hope no matter what. Stay well, everyone. Oh, but sports and music don't matter, didn't you hear? Point three, Major League Baseball players want to wait for a shot in the arm before they start their season. Wouldn't that be nice? Wiki, wiki! Baseball players, earth to baseball players, you're going to be at the end of the line for your vaccination shots. If you think that's what it's going to take to start training camp in this season, wake up. Point four, Giannis Antetokounmpo. The Greek freak signing a 5-year, $228 million extension with the Milwaukee Bucks. Fare the deer. Can the Edmonton Elk use that phrase, by the way? Fare the deer?
I don't know. I would assume it's been trademarked.
Okay.
I would assume.
Because I love it.
But it's pretty good.
I love it.
It's pretty good.
Fare the deer, Milwaukee Bucks. It's amazing because I was watching ESPN First Take this morning and they were debating, what does this contract mean for the NBA? I was thinking really big picture, like, holy smokes, I hope they think they can pay $45 million a year in the new economic climate of the NBA. That was my first thought, what this means for the NBA. $45 million a year. Patrick Mahomes money for an NBA player in a small market like Milwaukee. No, 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 no. What they were saying, Stephen A. Smith, and who's the guy I don't like? Who's the guy?
Oh, man.
Max Kellerman.
Max Kellerman.
Max
Kellerman. Thank you.
They took the micro tunnel vision of, oh, this means that the Bucks are built around one player and they won't have enough depth to win, and the Miami Heat, the door is open for them to win the East. And I'm like, whoa, 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 who cares about this year? I was thinking economics of the league.
Yeah. Moving forward.
Are either one of us right or are we both right?
And every player, but every player starts comparing themselves to other players. Well, he's making 45. So if I think I'm the best on my team, I deserve 45.
Exactly.
And that becomes the new standard. Sounds awfully familiar, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
$700,000 quarterbacks, Al, right? You're a GM.
Oh, yeah, we got to get into those stories,
You're a GM.
Too.
So now I'm just as good. My numbers are better. Now every quarterback thinks they deserve $700,000, and the economics of the league crumble.
That's why I can't wait to get Alan Ford in here as a guy, as a GM. He's walked in some tall grass, right, Al? Negotiated some big contracts. John in Edmonton says, I think the update did not say that the WHL is suspended. It just said they're looking at a different date to be announced. John, one day you will listen to me. When you're reading statements and news releases, you should take it to a lawyer. You really need to look between the lines with what they're really saying. The season's suspended indefinitely, homie. I don't care how you word it. And why I'm so skeptical of what I hear in the news media and sports media is the amount of times that I've seen a guy stand at a microphone at a podium and lie his face off. Because I know the truth. I know the truth. And when he walks away from the podium, I'm like, but that's not true. I know it's not true. And pre-pandemic, they laughed about it. It's still going on. I'm skeptical. Al wasn't one of those guys, by the way. He's a decent and honorable man. But I've seen it happen. So I don't believe what I hear. You can believe whatever the hell you want, by the way. But I'm sitting here every day telling you what I think. And for some reason, you keep coming back. Was it Dan Millett that said, Stephen A. Smith is the guy that I shouldn't like, but do. No, I like Stephen Smith because he tells it the way that it is.
Yeah.
How did we get down this road?
I don't know.
Point five, NBA coverage, because I'm quite enjoying it. The Bucks game was on last night. Kudos again to TSN because they found a way to air live programming. I was watching college hockey last night, University of Miami, Ohio versus Colorado College. I enjoyed it. Don't at me. NBA preseason coverage, and I'm thinking, well, with all these leagues getting shelved, WHL, how far behind is Junior A? Can the CFL be that much far behind? I guess we're going to be talking about the big leagues, and maybe we need to get in some NBA insiders. And I dropped, like, a Tory Gurley of the NBA. I dropped the name to you, and you should have seen your face today.
It's a big deal. It's a big deal.
I'm pretty sure we can get him. I'm pretty sure we can get him. So there will be a lot of NBA talks. So start watching NBA, because we're going to be talking it a lot here. And point six, I'm glad that we have a little more time here this hour than last on this. Mm-hmm. NFL news and notes. Couple things. Our betting partner, Come On Official, did you see their tweet? Who's your favorite NFL player without naming your favorite NFL player? I'm not sure how this trend goes, but I answered Mapletron. And I said Mapletron. What are you supposed to do when you answer those questions? Are you supposed to put a GIF? Or are you supposed to... It's like a Jeopardy thing.
Well, you can't. Yeah, Mapletron. I mean, that's kind of his name. Even though
I did it wrong.
So you did it wrong. You did it wrong.
Not surprised.
I'm trying to think of what would be something. You know, I'm trying to think of Derrick Henry. So
he's your favorite player?
Yes, right now. So I would do something to symbolize a stiff arm, maybe a train coming down the track or something like that, or a crown, right? King Henry. So I'd do the crown. So I'm not going to say his name, but based on what I put on there, you can tell who it is. Kind of like a clue, right?
Yeah. Well, that aside, my favorite player is Chase Claypool. Yours is Derrick Henry. What's yours? Write in the comment section. But more fun than that, as we close out the warm-up here for the Four Seasons Sports Palace, come in and warm up at the Four Seasons. You're home for the NFL. They're saying now in Dallas, it's week 15. We're not waiting till the end of the year to hang somebody in effigy in Dallas. Whose fault is it that this team is the worst since the 1-15 of 1989? Whose fault? Because if you, that's not your favorite team. It's probably not your favorite team. But if you're paying attention, We signed Andy Dalton, the Red Rifle, a three-time Pro Bowler, in the event that something happens to Dakota Prescott. Well, something happened. We still can't win. Worst team in the NFL, worst defense historically in the history of the NFL, not the Dallas Cowboys, and since Dak Prescott got hurt, the worst offense in the NFL. Who's to blame? Al, can't wait for your thoughts on that. Because when you got a team of talent that can't win, it's a short line. It's coaching. And then they come out and say that Mike McCarthy's coming back next year. Well, of course he is. He's got 4 years left in his contract. Who signed him to a five-year deal? Jera. So what are you going to do? Get rid of the owner?
Who's making that call?
God. There's only one person higher than Jerry Jones with the Dallas Cowboys, and it's God. So I guess when I'm talking to him tomorrow, I'll say, what are we going to do in Dallas? So fire the coach. Isn't that always the answer, Al? He's got no answer. I just unplugged my headphones. Okay, this has been the warm-up. What?
Presents. You got a couple minutes.
Okay.
The little one on top.
With the blue?
That's from Jamie Anstey in Halifax.
Come on!
It came in yesterday. I don't know. Wow. I don't know if it was specifically for your birthday. It just came in on time.
Thank you, Jamie in Halifax. He's the equipment manager of the Cole Harbour Junior team out there. This is gorgeous. Did that end on time, eh?
Didn't it?
Scheduled. Oh, that's perfect. My size, too. Did he ask you? XL?
So now the one.
Thank you, Jamie in Halifax. That's very nice of you.
The ribbon. So this is from the ribbon. Down the bottom. No, sorry. Right in front of you. The green ribbon. Keep tossing boxes.
Not necessary, by the way, but thank you. What do we got? Who's
this
from?
Put a lot of thought into this.
You?
Yeah.
Oh, this is the one that came in the mail?
Oh, yeah.
Why is everybody laughing? Ooh, gorgeous. TB12. Is it a bunny hug? I'll be wearing it later in the week.
There you go.
Thank you, dupes. Wow, what a wonderful birthday this has turned out to be.
There you go. Happy birthday.
Thank you to all my friends and to the crew here. Alan Ford in the bunker next, everybody. You're watching the RP Show on Game Plus TV, Facebook Live, and listen live for Suds Full Service Car Wash at rodpeterson.com.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You gotta subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. Oh, yeah. He's back. Time for more of The Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back to the program, everybody. Very special day, and I got to say, I'm very blessed. Thank you. It is my 48th birthday, and I'm not the guy that's like, oh, look at me, it's my birthday. But everybody's been really nice, and that includes Jeremy Davis, downtown Toronto in the Game Plus studios, up on the show. Thank you, Jeremy. Armando Moreno, Mexican football reporter in Mexico City. Happy birthday, Rod. Feliz cumpleaños. How do you say that, Al?
Don't ask me.
Didn't you wish you could scout in Mexico when you were a GM?
I've been to Mexico several times.
But that's about it. Not for football.
Yeah, no. Vacation.
Alan Ford joining us here in the bunker. A guy that I've got immense respect for. Known him a long time. And for those that don't know, Alan, you played how many years with the Riders?
12.
Still hold the record for the longest punt in Grey Cup history. Did you know that?
Yes, I did.
How long was it?
I think it was 89.
Yeah, there you go. And then assistant GM for the Rough Riders all through the 80s, won the Grey Cup in 89, and then the general manager all through the 90s. How many years as GM in management?
11.
Yeah.
Well, the GM, I was 11.
Right, and then another...
4 or 5 years as assistant.
So there's very few people that have more years with the Rough Rider franchise than Alan, but he also went and helped out in Hamilton. Was Lancaster there then?
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
And the Toronto ownership, the Hamilton ownership had basically collapsed. So the league appointed me to go into Hamilton and run it for the rest of the year before the new owner came over.
And then with the Alouettes, you scouted for a long time. And I was just mentioning Jim Popp. I mean, we've always been friends, but we've become close friends in the last year and a bit. And he watches the show down in North Carolina. He brought you on in Montreal for some time.
Yeah, I scouted... basically Western Canada for Montreal for about 5 years. And then when Jim left to go to Toronto, then I left Montreal.
Did you go to Toronto too, or
no,
just
I
said,
did not.
I'm done?
I said, that's it.
Okay.
I'm good.
Good
now.
For you. And the reason that I outlined all that is because when we're going to talk CFL here, now you know, here's a guy that knows. And just from the comments here, Nathan Zafar is watching in Florida. Happy birthday, Rod. That's Bob Hughes' nephew, just
oh, okay.
So you know. Thank you, Nathan. John Ohm in Winnipeg. Alan Ford, Rider Royalty. got to meet this man in Taylor Field. Love this guy. Looking great, Alan. And apologies to our Winnipeg and Manitoba viewers on Bell MTS cable. We're going to talk. It's not going to be all riders here. Actually, probably not a ton. But just the plight that the CFL finds itself in now. I mentioned earlier in the 90s, I used to interview you every week, and you got tired of talking about those financial stories and which team was going to fold this week. You probably thought we were out of those years.
Yeah, I sure hope so. Who would have predicted that this pandemic would come along, and what do you do? And there's no easy answer. There's kudos on both sides of the argument, but you know, the CFL isn't the type of league, in my opinion, that could weather what the NFL is going through now with teams having COVID outbreaks within the team. And the safest way was to just sit out a year. And when the vaccine becomes available to everybody or most people, then you've got a good chance of getting through the season without having to, say, put teams in a bubble like other leagues have done. It's just too expensive for the CFL to do that. And, you know, our major sponsor in the league that has been with us and been a big supporter, TSN, if it wasn't for TSN now, we would be like we were back in the 90s with teams just hanging on the brink. And TSN basically covers your player salaries, provided that you can keep those within reason.
The CFL would have no chance at all without TSN, but with the season scrapped in 2020, you're one of a few. Dave Hodge is another. Willard Reeves have said it was the right decision. I think we can all reluctantly swallow that and say, okay, but 2021, if there isn't one, and I got to think there's a chance that there is an Al, what are your thoughts on an upcoming season?
Well, I think the chances are a lot better now than they were 3 months ago. And the development of a vaccine that will be distributed by Canada and the United States and make North America basically free of this terrible pandemic over probably by September, October, November, somewhere in that time frame, there'll be enough vaccines given that the herd immunity will reduce the risk of your team contracting a strain of the virus, and then what do you do?
CFL great Alan Ford with us talking about the future of the CFL. For all the CFL fans across the continent, you're welcome, because the guy has a lot of knowledge. But can you explain then, because what you're doing is you're telling us why why Randy Ambrosi came out on this show and during Grey Cup Unite Week and said the optimism is because of the vaccine. You're saying all the same things. It's sort of like if the vaccine isn't widely distributed, and we pray that it is, but if it's not, you're not playing because the cost of the bubble, you've said it. Can you explain that to our viewers, that football is different than every other sport?
Well, I think if you look at the financial statements of every team in the CFL, there's not a whole bunch of teams that are making a whole bunch of money, even with the TSN support. So now we go through a season of no football, and you come back to play next year. If you tried to put teams in a bubble, you would have the costs of players, accommodation, and food for like 5 months, and the CFL just doesn't have that kind of money. And so the opportunity to do that is not there in the CFL with other major sports, that their television revenue is so great that they can survive just on television revenue. They don't need people in the stands. We still need people in the stands.
But this is the pinch. If the vaccine isn't available widely and you can't play in a bubble, then they're not playing. I mean, the concept of playing with no fans isn't a concept, is what you're telling me.
Exactly.
Was this preventable at all? Because, I mean, I'm you've known me a long time. I've studied CFL history. There's a lot of smart business guys have come through here over the years, and nobody's been able to figure out a way to turn a profit, a big profit. Why is that?
I guess that's just the way the league is structured and looks at itself. I think for the financial health of the league, as an overall, we're paying too much money for our players. And that's the major cost, and that's what's happening. When you're right on that threshold of making a few dollars or losing a whole bunch of money, the major part of that is your expenses of players, the travel for players to go to play in other centers. It's very, very close to break even every year, and that's the way some of the owners have looked at it. Here in Saskatchewan, we're still one of the few community-owned teams, so when we have our telethons or we go to our fans, they are generally there to really support the club and know it's a valuable part of our existence. It's really the major show that we have across Canada and in a lot of areas of the United States to show what Saskatchewan is like.
Sure, but back to that CFL history, I was around watching in 87 and 97. The telethons were to save the Riders, not the league. The difference here is that you could save the Riders and the league could still go down the toilet. Right? That's the peril that league is in right now.
The difference, too, back in 87, there was gate equalization in those days. And same
Revenue sharing.
But basically it was they took your gate and your fundraising and lumped it in, and that's you shared that among the other teams. So when it came to the end of the season, instead of the Saskatchewan Roughriders getting money, we were giving money back to the league to give to other teams that had completely overspent. And if you want to be competitive, money talks.
Yes, but now we're getting somewhere. And I might keep you for an extra segment or two, Alan, if that's okay. That was the 80s. In the 90s, other teams were in danger of folding. You were telling me this, not in interviews, but when the tape recorder was turned off. But it had to really grind your gears that you guys were working so hard here and sending money off to the teams that had million-dollar quarterbacks. And it happened, folks. You know what I'm
Absolutely.
Talking about. Right.
Absolutely, 100%. That was my appeal to clubs that we're playing against, that we're competing with, that they had no idea of looking at a salary cap or what they're spending. They didn't care. And so a lot of them had private owners for 2 or 3 years, and that was enough for the private owner. They just throw it back to the league. So here you can't throw it back to anybody because we're community-owned.
Exactly. But I don't see how the CFL business model has changed a ton.
Well,
there is a cap now, I understand.
Yes. There was a modest cap my last few years.
Yeah, Cal Murphy called it a guideline.
A guideline, yeah. And some people believed in it, some didn't. And with the new cap, the one thing I think that the league has done better than what was going on when I was GM is they now are having a way to at least police the cap. And pretty accurately, too. But, things come up where the general manager in BC, one of the players is complaining he's owed another $150,000 that was in a side letter.
At least.
And how do you, as a community-owned club, how do you compete with that? Well, you have to, if you got the guidelines in place, you have to be able to police them.
Right, and I don't think we've heard the end of that BC situation. Well, we haven't heard the end of it, by the way.
Probably not, and it's BC is probably not the only team.
Well, of course not. And if I had a wish list, this is why I brought Alan Ford in. He's an absolute pillar of the CFL. I have two main wishes. If I really got going, I'd have about 20. But my top two are transparency of salaries and two, a strict injury reporting system, because I would like to see the CFL follow the NFL model of betting, i.e. not stringing out injuries till game day to screw with the other team's coaching staff. Do you know what I mean? Is a guy in or is he out? On day one, name it, right? Not the secrecy, the shadiness of that Mike Riley deal. Will we ever get past those days? And do you see a day where salaries are announced, term and amount?
I would say we're, compared to when I was there, we're 75% better in those things.
Wow.
I think that they are doing a good job in most instances. And that's why the league is so competitive. I mean, the East still has a ways to go. But in the West, all the teams the last couple of years have been very competitive. It's not like the Edmonton Eskimos are winning every year, as was when I was there. They're finishing first all the time, and you would go to a game and they'd have somebody new on defense that was playing middle linebacker that you'd never heard of, and he would be an all-star in the game somehow. And so their players had a lot more on their practice squad than what was supposed
to be. Sure, and that's also Paul Jones, but don't forget, too, you told me, players have told me, Hugh Campbell's told me, and you know this. Hugh would say, get your best offer from T-Max and I'll beat it by 15 grand.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
How do you fight that?
Yeah. Well, that's a pretty easy way to negotiate if the player wants to be there.
Yeah.
Although, you know, we some of the other clubs just don't have the money. Winnipeg and Saskatchewan, primarily community-owned, don't have the money to do that.
No. Guys, let me know when we're to go to a break because we're going to go another one. Okay, we're going to go to a break right now. Al, can you stick around for another segment?
Sure.
And we'll talk about, we've covered the past of the CFL. I want to talk a bit about where the league's going, okay? Sports update coming up. Viewer takeover, you're watching the RP Show on Game Plus TV, Facebook Live, and listen live for Suds Full Service Car Wash at rodpeterson.com.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You got to subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. Laid back and kicking it. Let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. A sports update here before we return with longtime CFL general manager Alan Fort. Giannis Antetokounmpo has agreed to a supermax extension with the Milwaukee Bucks that takes the two-time reigning MVP off next summer's free agent market. The Bucks announced that the Greek Freak has signed an extension without announcing the terms or length. The 26-year-old Antetokounmpo had until Monday to sign the Bucks Supermax extension offer. The Athletic and Stadium both reported that he agreed to a 5-year extension worth $228 million, and that works out to $45 million a year. Meanwhile, the Toronto Raptors will play in front of fans at their Florida home games this season. The Raptors are permitting a limited number of fans at games at Tampa's Amalie Arena, with plans to sell 3,800 seats for regular season games. There will be no floor seats available, nor any seats within 30 feet of the court. And here's an only in Canada story. Police say they have made two arrests after Wayne Gretzky memorabilia was stolen from the home of his dad in Brantford, Ontario. Police say they recovered several items of Wayne Gretzky memorabilia, including game-used sticks, hockey gloves, pants, jerseys, and the NHL's Player of the Year award from the 83-84 season. The estimated value of the recovered property is around $500,000 U.S. This sports update for the Tap Brewhouse and Drive-Thru Liquor Store, corner of Rochdale and Pasqua and Regina, and for Ben Cahoon's G2G Protein Bars, now with 8 amazing flavors, including the new Almond Mocha. RP Show viewers get 20% off with the promo code RPSHOW. Order yours now at g2gbars.ca. Alan Ford, we'll get you a couple of these G2G bars before you leave. As Alouettes alum, both you and Ben Cahoon. Now listen, when you hear that Antetokounmpo contract, 5 years, $228 million. It's insane. And, you know, we're talking about the CFL here and where it's going. As a man that's negotiated some big-time contracts in your time, how do you feel about the dollars and cents of the CFL right now, moving forward?
Well, I think they're, especially without full number of fans in the stands, they're still at the same problem that when your expenditures are more than your revenues or right about the same as your revenues, you're going to have some issues. And some of the teams are able to weather that and other teams aren't. And this pandemic has put all the teams at risk. And I honestly believe that if they don't have some type of season, the CFL is going to start to fade out of the memory banks of people that have been great longtime fans of the CFL. So I think they've got to find a way, and hopefully the vaccine allows them to do that in 2021.
Well, those are the long-term fans, the young fans. I mean, I looked. Giannis Antetokounmpo has 8.3 million Instagram followers. I mean, it just, the big leagues are just pulling away. And make no mistake, they're being hurt too, right?
Yes.
You know that, with because they can't withstand playing without fans either. But it's further scrunching down the lower level leagues like the CFL and some of these other leagues.
Yeah, no question that, I mean, the dollars and cents of the, even the NHL and the NBA and NFL are so much greater. And so when a pandemic or something happens like has happened this last year, it really affects the teams that are in the lower rung, not as much the teams that have tremendous television contracts and corporate sponsorships that are astronomical.
Well, viewers of this show are CFL fans, and they love this talk. Chris Bird in Toronto says, strong local ownership of a CFL franchise is key to the success of the club. This is likely why the community-owned model works well. The owners have a vested interest. And while I believe that to be true, and we're talking about Edmonton, Saskatchewan, and Winnipeg, when the Argos were bought by MLSE and the Stampeders by Calgary Sports and Entertainment, the Red Blacks are owned by a conglomerate, I didn't think that was the worst thing either. I mean, I'd rather see family ownership, like the Braleys, if it's done right, because those corporately owned teams I don't think are in danger of folding, Al. You know what I mean? Like, what did you think when those big conglomerates bought those teams?
Well, number one, I was happy that somebody was there to step up. And I think the ownership in Toronto has been very good for that specific reason.
That's what I mean, yeah.
They've been able to keep Toronto alive without every other day somebody writing a story or on television about, are the Argos folding next week? And that has happened to a number of teams. And I think there are some really good private owners currently in the league that are steady, that we know they're going to be there for years to come. And if you can't have the community model, that's the next best model.
Can I ask you, you worked for Bob Wettenhall with the Alouettes. I don't know if you ever had a chance to meet him. Why did everybody love him so much, and why were they the model franchise when his hands were on the wheel for 20 years?
I met Bob because he had come and he had bought the team when I was in Hamilton. And so I met him two or three times, and he is kind of, you would never think that that's Bob Wettenhall when you see him. I mean, he's very quiet.
Unassuming.
And was just there to make, he loved football. And he loved the city of Hamilton because he's originally from the Hamilton area. And for him, it was almost like a play toy, but he was doing it for all the right reasons. He was doing it because of the community of Hamilton, because of keeping football alive in that area, especially CFL football. But not only that, but amateur football.
But you're talking about Bob Young.
I'm sorry, Bob Young, yeah.
Right, but Wettenhall. Did you meet Bob Wettenhall?
Yes, I met
Bob Young. I know enough about. I've met him. Yeah. Great guy. I never met Wettenhall. And the guys that worked for him just loved him.
Yeah, I was there when I'm sorry I got that mixed up.
That's good. Both Bobs.
Yeah, both Bobs. And he would come in. He was just very, very similar to the other Bob in terms that he was in it for the right reasons. He loved it. Now, I think that the change in passed down, I'm not so sure his son has the same interest in.
Yeah, notice I didn't ask about him. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm talking about dad.
They've been there and they've been supporting it, so hats off.
Yeah. Steve Mazurek watching, another Hall of Famer who says, such a class act, could listen to this dude all day. Trust me, Maz, me too. I'm deliberating keeping Alan around for the next segment, but I know we can't. I got to get DuPont back in here. I'll take one. Can you answer two questions fast?
Good.
From viewer Tyler Wood, was Al Ford responsible for bringing in Elgard/Fairholme at slotback, one of the best tandems in CFL history? What do you remember about those guys coming to the green and white?
Well, I remember they were both draft picks of the of the Rough Riders at the time, and I used to shudder. Ray Elgard was kind of his own man, and
still is.
And he would walk into the front office when it was contract negotiation time or about it, and I could still hear him saying to Joe McDougall, the secretary, saying, "Is Big Al in?"
You could hear his voice.
I could hear his voice. "I want to talk dollars and cents." I go, "Oh, I just wrecked my day."
Yep. I just talked to him the other day, by the way.
What a player.
What a beauty. Look at all the top Canadian awards he won. People forget about how great they were, which now my mind's just triggered an avalanche of questions. You were around when the Riders changed their logo from the old Safeway logo to what's like the NFL-style logo now. Really awesome. And I wanted to bring Normie Fong in here, and one day we will talk about that era. But, Alan, what was the unrest like in this province, the rectangle, when you went to change the logo of the iconic Saskatchewan Rough Riders?
I think initially there was obviously a little panic, and what are we doing this for? And it was a lot of push from Phil Kershaw, and he had an idea what he thought the new logo should look like, and he had helped design that new stylized S, and it kind of just took the team from the 50s to the 90s.
It was awesome.
But there's still, it's hard to change people.
Oh really?
If they're set in their ways, or you want to raise the ticket price a dollar, it's
especially here.
Yeah.
Jack in Alberta says, "What does Alan believe the players' salary should be lowered to in order to see a healthier CFL?"
Well, I don't know whether specifically there's you just look at what we're paying quarterbacks, and they're the key to your team, but are they going to play? I guess the real answer is, are they going to play someplace else? And you have to pay them $700,000 or $800,000, and you can't lower the salary. I mean, the minimum salary I think is 54 now, and that's pretty low.
Actually, I think it's 62.5.
Oh,
they
62
did bump
5?
It, but yeah.
And so you can't get any off at the lower end. So
no.
I would think that if they're going to adjust the salaries, that maybe that's where you have to look.
Awesome. Alan, Merry Christmas. I still got more. Maybe we'll bring you back in the new year. Is that cool?
I'm around.
Tell some more stories? Okay. Thank you, man. I really appreciate it. And like I say, happy holidays to the Ford clan.
Yeah, happy birthday to you.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. I think you got a kid my age. We're the same age. Your daughter, I think,
yeah,
is the same age.
I think
age
she's
as me.
A little older than you are.
Oh, even? Okay. We'll be back with Viewer Takeover next and Overtime, everybody. It's the RP Show, Facebook Live, Game Plus TV, and Listen Live for Suds Full Service Car Wash at rodpeterson.com.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You gotta subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. We are into the overtime, which everybody loves, and the viewer takeover. I'm not sure what we're going to face off about here, Dupes. Something will come up.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Tammy Bassett in Calgary. Happy birthday, Rod. Thank you. We just said goodbye to a great treasure, and I'm going to have lunch with a couple more. Frenzy.
Awesome.
And his buddy, Del Reimer. He's one of the guys that picks him up. You remember Del. Carlos, watching in Indianapolis, says, "Fascinating coffee table talk. Sit back, listen, learn, and chime in when you have something to ask or say." Yeah. Y'all are welcome here anytime, as you know, in this coffee discussion. William May says, "A lot of quarterbacks in the CFL can't make the NFL, so pay them only $250,000 and down." I feel like this is a topic that we're going to be discussing well into 2021. If you think all the strife is limited to 2020, it's not. That's the scary thing. It's not a fad. It's a trend. And until people stand up and reverse that trend, stand up and say what you think, it's not going to get better. And by the way, the Don Cherry cancellation by Sportsnet,
happened in 2019. I've pointed that out several times, as you know.
Yeah.
Ken in Saskatoon says, another great show, Rod. Interesting comment from Alan Ford that the players are paid too much, but made a nice recovery with the answer to the follow-up question about what players should be paid. Happy birthday. Thanks, Ken. Jeff, the closed captioner at Game Plus. Happy birthday, Rod. Here's to 48 more. Cheers. I appreciate it, Jeff, but I don't want to be around for 48 more. I can accomplish all my stuff and see you later. Check out Happy Trails. Mandy in Edmonton says, why is it important for the CFL to formally announce injuries? Is it for betting purposes? It's for two reasons. By far and away, number one is for betting. Yes. Two, just covering the league. I don't have to worry about it anymore because I'm not in the day-in, day-out minutia of covering a CFL team or any teams, but it's really hard to cover this league when they are so shady about injuries. And incidentally, what's hockey? Upper body injury, lower body injury. So they don't necessarily... I don't care what it is. Is he playing or is he not? End of story. I don't need to know specifically what the injury is. I need to know whether he's playing or not. And that's for betting purposes and somewhat for reporting purposes. Yeah. How are you on that?
Yeah, betting, fantasy football, reporting, all things that get fans engaged. And it's not great for the teams. They don't want that stuff out. They want to hold on to it.
Yeah.
But you need to understand it's bigger than that. That's what grows the game, puts more fans in the stands, and then more money in your back pocket when it comes to contract time. So more interest in the league, more betting, more revenues. It's all good things. I mean, look at our partnership with Come On, right? I mean, it is such a key cog to sports, right? I mean, betting is big. Betting's big.
Robin in Prince Albert says, face off about making CFL salaries public or not. I think they have to be made public. I don't know what they're hiding. We're going to agree on that one. Yeah. Does anybody want to fight us? Come on. Come on. Bring it. CFL salaries need to be made public. And the only reason they're not is because they're embarrassingly low, the league thinks. But I don't. Who cares? You want to know what I make? I don't care. I tell you if you want. You get where I'm coming from.
Yes.
I mean, that's a mild fight. Is that Nick? He's got his mask on.
Happy birthday.
Should CFL salaries be made public or not?
Why not? Go ahead.
He says go ahead. Everybody agrees.
Doesn't matter.
It was a clean draw.
You work 20 hours a week. It's a pretty good wage. Although Willie Jefferson said last year on the show, he doesn't want it being made public, but we all think that it should be. The face-off is for the Mad Greek. I'm going there on Saturday. Come on down and say hi, by the way, Saturday afternoon at the Mad Greek. I'll be there with Joe Jumbo Jet.
Awesome.
The best authentic Greek cuisine available for licensed dining, takeout, or delivery. Head to their website, madgreekeatery.com. And for the ultimate fan zone, home of the home teams, jerseys, caps, and team apparel, they are your officially licensed fan store in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. There are more text messages that I haven't got to. Metal Shingle Guy writes, happy birthday, Rod. From Edmonton, report, Dr. Fauci told Bettman the NHL should use hub cities this season. Thank you, Edmonton. I know. I watch SportsCenter, too. What I don't understand is the NBA and the NFL aren't using bubbles, so why does the NHL have to?
Right.
In America. From Irene in Saskatoon. You remember Irene?
Yes.
Happy birthday, Rod. Love, Irene. Sent with love.
Awesome.
I can't wait to get up there. You guys are coming for lunch next time we go to Saskatoon. Tomorrow on the program, Jeff Patterson, longtime buddy of ours from TSN 1040 Vancouver, and Allison Sandmeyer Graves, CEO of Canadian Women in Sport. Talk to you then, everybody, here on Game Plus. Let's make some noise.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.